It's true.
Start with El Turaway, Northwest London, Tuesday, 24th of Teves, 17th of January. Rabbi Moti Sonnenfeld Schlitter, being Mesa Nefesh to learn Torah. This week's Torah have been sponsored by Nishmas, Rab David ben Rab Yosef Zichron Levrochel, on his first yard site tomorrow, 25th of Teves.
Warm up from the weather outside. So there's a Gemara in Baba Kama, right? Came across it recently. A fascinating Gemara. Gemara says like this. Gemara quotes a pasuk from Shmuel. Right? So the pasuk says, "Vayisave David, Vayisave Midrash and Taiva." David had like a desire. Vayisave David, Vayomer, and David said, "Me Yishkeni Mayim Mi Boir Beis Lechem." Who can get me water? Me Yishkeni Mayim Mi Boir Beis Lechem, from the boir in Beis Lechem. Right, talking about David HaMelech, he wanted some water, Asher Bashar, okay, fine. Then he carries on the pasuk, Vayivku Shleishes Hagibayrim, Vemachneh Plishtim. David HaMelech had like three, towards the end of his life, he had like three bodyguards looking after him, protecting him from all his enemies. Right, so it says these three people, Vayivku, they cut through the Machneh Plishtim, right, it was a time of Mulchama, Vayishabu Mayim Yibayr Beis Lechem Asher Bashar. They ran through this the Machaneh Plishtim, these three Geburim of David, and they went to draw him water from the well, and they brought him water. Okay, and the pasuk carries on. However, v'le'ovah David lishtoisam. Oh, the pasuk says that David HaMelech didn't want to drink it. V'le'ovah David lishtoisam. He didn't want to drink this water. V'yasech oisam l'Hashem. He pulled out the water. That's what the pasuk says on a simple level. The pasuk says again, Vayisav David, he wanted some water. He asked who's gonna offer to get him some water from the boir. And these three geburim, they took up the offer, they went to get him some water, and they brought him the water. He didn't want to drink it. David HaMelech, he pulled out. Right, so the Gemara understands. So the Gemara takes on, the Gemara doesn't even say, but the Gemara says that obviously this water doesn't mean water, it's referring to Torah. It's referring that David HaMelech had a shaila to ask the Sanhedrin. That's what the Gemara says. He had a question he wanted to ask the Sanhedrin. When it says, Vayisave David Vayomer Mi Ashkeni Mayim, who's going to give me water? That means who's going to go to the Sanhedrin, Bashar Beis Lechem, to ask whatever I need to ask. He had a certain question. And the Gemara discusses, the Gemara's got three mahalchim, right? What David's question was. David had this very important, pressing question in the middle of the Muhammad. He couldn't wait. He had to ask the Sanhedrin right now. The Gemara's got three mahalchim, what the question that he asked the Sanhedrin was. Okay, one of the mahalchim, one of the mahalchim was that David had the shaila about toman ba'ish. Right, so the halacha that if somebody lights a fire and the fire spreads and it damages somebody else's field, then of course the person who lights the fire is chayav to pay. However, if in the other person's field he's got his tools hidden inside his haystack, right, it's toman, it's concealed, then for Toman Ba'esh is a machlekes of Yehuda Rabbanon, if my fire burns something else, someone else's field, and in his field there's things which are hidden, am I chayav to pay for those things which are hidden? Machlekes of Yehuda Rabbanon. Here, says Igmara, David's question to the Sanhedrin was, who do we paskin like? Do we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, or do we paskin like the Rabbanon? That was what David HaMelech had to ask the Sanhedrin. Rashi says that a Maisa came up during this Muhammad, a Maisa came up. Obviously, it looks like David's army burnt someone else's field, the Yid's field, and there was a Shaila of Toman, Machlekes of Yehuda Rabbanon. David HaMelech had to ask the Sanhedrin, who do we paskin like when it comes to Toman Ba'esh, Rabbi Yehuda or the Rabbanon? Okay, fair enough. Asks the Gemara, says the Gemara, but there's one problem. Because the pasuk finishes off, V'lei Ava David L'shtesam, which means that David HaMelech didn't accept their answer, right? The Gemara says, they came back, these three Geburim, they went to the base, to the Shar Beis Lechem, they went to the Sanhedrin, they asked the Shaila, and they got, the Gemara doesn't say what the Tshuva was, but they got a Tshuva on the Shaila, they went to David HaMelech, V'lei Ava David L'shtesam, David HaMelech refused to accept their answer. So the Gemara says, Mai Loi Ava David L'shtesam, right? What? Why not? Why didn't he want to accept it? So says the Gemara. Omar, David HaMelech says as follows: Kach mukublani mi beis dinoi shel Shmuel Haramosi. He says David HaMelech said, I've got a Kabbalah, I've got a tradition from the beis din of Shmuel Haramosi. I think that's Shmuel Anavi, right? What's this Kabbalah? Kol hamoisa atzmai lomus al divrei Torah. Somebody who's moisa atzmai lomus al divrei Torah. Ein oimrim dvar halacha mishmoi. That's what David HaMelech said. He had a Kabbalah, a tradition that he got from Shmuel Anavi, that somebody kol hamoisa atzmai lomus al divrei Torah. Somebody who's moisa atzmai lomus al divrei Torah. He puts himself in a dangerous situation in order to learn Torah. Ein oimrim dvar halacha mishmoi. Right, one should not say Advar Halacha Mishmai. Okay, so that's why David HaMelech, right, it seems to be, he didn't want to accept their tshuva, at least he didn't want to say this tshuva in the name of these three Geburim, because as the Pasuk says, these three Geburim, they put themselves in a dangerous situation, they had to cut through the Machne Plishtim, and there was a time of Mulchama. So David HaMelech said, look, you put yourself in danger to go to the Sanhedrin to find out this Halacha. Ein oimrim dvar halacha mishmoi. David HaMelech said, I can't say this, I can't accept this, I can't say this over in your name. And yeah, fine. And that's how the Gemara goes according to this Malach. Oh, so it comes out, right, bottom line, what we want to take from this Gemara is that David HaMelech, he had the Kabbalah from Shmuel HaRamasi, kol hamoisa atzmai lomus al divrei Torah, somebody who puts himself in danger, in a dangerous situation in order to learn Torah. Ein oimrim dvar halacha mishmoi. One should not say over a dvar halacha in his name. Which seems to be from this Gemara. It seems to be that it's not the correct thing to endanger yourself in order to learn Torah. Right? It's not one shouldn't put himself in a dangerous situation in order to learn Torah. Right? One should make sure that it's safe. And if you're going to put yourself in a matzav of sakana, then that's not the correct thing. That's why David HaMelech was disappointed. He wasn't pleased with these geburim because they didn't do the right thing. It's not correct to put yourself in danger in order to learn Torah. Okay. Rav Akiva, I think, is going to be a bit different because that was a matzav of Shas Hashmad and the whole Torah was at stake, right? If you would have listened to the Romans, then that would have been the end of the Torah. So that was, I think that that's. We're going to ask many other cases. Punkt, we're not going to discuss Rav Akiva.
You're asking in peaceful times.
Yeah, in regular times. Yeah. I'm not talking about not Shas Hashmad. Yeah, regular times.
Oh. You're talking about physical danger, aren't you? Not being in an offerish, that kind of danger.
L'chira, yeah.
You are.
Let's stick to physical danger. Yeah, actually, I met a bocher yesterday, and he asked me what I'm talking about. So I said I'm talking about somebody who puts himself in danger to learn Torah. So he said to me, "Does that mean a bocher that goes to yeshiva and there's so much peer pressure that he won't be able to learn properly? Is it included in that?" So probably not. I think we're talking about physical danger.
So
they ask, comes along the Netziv, right? The Netziv has got he's got a pirush on the Shiltis, right? The Shiltis Rav Achoy, it's like a collection of brises that Rav Achoy wrote, and the Netziv has got a pirush on the Shiltis, right? And before his pirush, he's got a whole hakdama. Like the hakdama is like a sefer to itself. It's like a massive hakdama. He's got loads of simonim in his hakdama. And in his hakdama, so he touches onto this point. So he brings this Gemara that we just read from David HaMelech and Shmuel HaNavi. And he says, one minute. He says, but what about the Gemara that says, Odom kiyomus bo'oyel? Right? So the Pasuk says, Odom kiyomus bo'oyel. And the Gemara makes a drasha. Ein divrei Torah miskaimim, elo b'mishe meimis atzmei oleo. Right? The divrei Torah is not miskaim, only by somebody who's meimis atzmei oleo. Which seems to indicate that, on the contrary, that the way forward in learning Torah is to be meimis atzmei
oleo.
So says in the tziv, you're going to tell me, says in the tziv, that when the Gemara says, b'misha meimis atzmei oleo, it doesn't mamish mean meimis atzmei oleo. Yeah, it doesn't mean that you should be meimis atzmei. Probably it means a lashon of anova, you should be mashbil atzmei, and you shouldn't be a balgaiva, you have to be noig ba'anivus. Yeah, he says, that's easy to be matcha, says in the tziv, right? But when he says, b'ela b'misha meimis atzmei oleo, don't take it too literally, too seriously, it doesn't mean mamish meimis atzmei oleo. So then it's okay, you can tell me that, but the best rayas that we have are from stories. So then it's, if I can find you at least three stories in the Gemara that we find Tanoim and Meiroim who put themselves in a matzav of sakonas nefashos to learn Torah. Right? Any ideas? What, in the cave?
Before he went to the cave.
Uh-huh. Okay, interesting one. It's not one of the one he brings, but I guess... So that's the first one he brings, right? The Nesiv brings a famous story of Hillel, right? Hillel HaZaken. The time it was on Friday night, and he couldn't afford... It was Friday, he couldn't afford the entrance fee to get into the Beis HaMedrash. Right, so what does Hillel do? He climbs on top of the roof, and he listens exactly, and there's a window there, he listens in to the shir that Shemaya and Avtalion are giving. And the Gemara says, it was in Teves, yeah? It was this type of weather, this time of year. And the Gemara says, it started snowing. It was nighttime, it started snowing. The Gemara says, Hillel was covered with 3 amas of snow. Right? 3 amas, we're talking about a meter and a half, 2 meters of snow. Not a thin layer. He totally covered in snow. The Gemara says, it came morning time. Shemaya and Avtalion looked up. But they see it's all dark, right? So they're wondering, right, why is it dark? Usually it's light. So they look up to the window and they see that there's a person lying on the window. So they go outside and they climb on the roof. They see Hillel's lying on the window. He's covered with snow. And it's a matzav of sakonas nefashos. Yeah, the Gemara says that they brought him inside the Beis HaMedrash and they bathed him. I think they lit a fire in order to warm him up. Right, the Gemara says they were mechalal Shabbos. Shemaya and Avtalion were mechalal Shabbos in order to help Hillel, right? So you see clearly it was a matzav of sakonas nefashos, so it had to be mechalal Shabbos. Right, so that's the first story where we see that Hillel HaZaken, yeah, the grace of Hillel HaZaken, he put himself in a matzav of sakonas nefashos in order to learn Torah. Right, so how's that going to work with this Gemara?
He didn't know it was going to snow.
Yeah. I think just climbing on the roof is sakonas nefashos.
So that was an entry fee on Shabbos.
Right, maybe he started before Shabbos, maybe he wanted to go in an Erev Shabbos and then...
It was a season ticket.
Yeah. Yeah, also a good answer. So who said, how did you know it was going to snow? But yeah. I think even if it wasn't going to snow, but obviously it must have been freezing cold, right? Yeah. To climb up on the roof and lie there in freezing cold weather in the middle of the night, it's not the most sensible thing. Okay, so fine. That's the first story. The second story, he brings Reb Elezer ben Hurkanus. He says there's a famous Pirkei Reb Elezer about Reb Elezer ben Hurkanus when he was a young man. He was a total Am HaOretz. He didn't even know how to daven. He didn't even know Kriya Shema. Chazal says he was a total Am HaOretz, but he had a tremendous desire to learn Torah. And the Gemara would say he would cry. He'd cry very long. Nobody would be able to learn Torah. Nobody understood him. And at one point, the Pirkei Reb Elezer says, Reb Elezer fasted for 2 weeks. For 2 weeks straight, including Shabbos, the Mefarshim say, for 2 weeks straight he fasted until he was zeicha to Gilu Elio HaNavi, and Elio HaNavi sent him to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in Eretz Yisrael. And then he became the great Reb Elezer ben Hurkanus, right? But again, you see that Reb Elezer ben Hurkanus, in order to be able to be matzniach in Torah, to learn Torah, he fasted for 2 weeks, right? That's clearly sakonas nefashos, right? I think he's lucky they met Elio HaNavi and not the Malachim Avos, but... The third example, the third story he brings from is also Gemara in Ksuvus. The Gemara in Ksuvus discusses different types of shchin, different types of tzaras. The Gemara says there's one particular type of tzaras, it's called Balei Rason. And that's a terrible type of tzaras, and the Gemara goes through all the... It's a very bad type, it's the worst type of tzaras possible. The Gemara says it's very, very catchy. It's a very, very catchy type of tzaras, and the Gemara brings a whole list of Amiroim, all the things that they did to... not to go near people who had this type of tzaras. So one Amira, he wouldn't stand close to somebody who had this tzaras. One Amira wouldn't even go in the same house. If somebody had been in this house, he wouldn't even go in that house. One Amira wouldn't, if somebody had eaten, if one of these people who had this tzaras had eaten from a certain food, he wouldn't touch that, he would never touch that food. Right? So the Gemara brings a whole list of Amiraim that they, because it's very catchy, they try to protect themselves. Until he gets to Rabbi Shua ben Levi, right? Rabbi Shua ben Levi, faket, when he wanted the chavrusa, who did he find the chavrusa to learn with? He found somebody who had this saras, and he would learn with them the chavrusa together, right? Sakonis nefashos. The Gemara says Rabbi Shua ben Levi held that Torah is magni or matzli. Torah is going to protect me. The schus haTorah will protect me that I won't get this type of saras, right? But again, you see that it's clearly a matzav of sakonis nefashos. That Meroim all distance themselves. Rabbi Shua ben Levi says, no, Torah, Magni, or Matzli, and he sat with them and learnt with them. But Chavrusa, the Gemara says, Again, another example, another story, right? A clear story where three from Hillel and from Reb Lezman Hurkanes, Reb Sherman, maybe they all were Mosen Nefesh, they put themselves in danger to learn Torah. The question is, how is it going to click with this Gemara over here that we just saw, that David HaMelech says that somebody who's Moser Atzmai Lomos Al Divrei Torah Ein Oymim Dvar Halacha Mishmei. It's not the correct thing to do. Right? So how do we put this together? We see that Tanoim did, they did put themselves in danger to learn Torah. But we see that David HaMelech was not pleased with these Geburim because they shouldn't have endangered themselves to go to the Sanhedrin to ask the Shaila. Oh, so how are we going to put this together? So like this. So the Netziv brings a certain sefer, right? I'm not going to say the name of the sefer. We'll play guess who, right? I'll quote the sefer and see if anyone's got any ideas who it could be, right? It's a mainstream sefer. I'm not talking. It's not one of these backstreets forum. A mainstream sefer. It's a very eye-opening. What he says. So let's have a look. What he says. He says like this. He says from this sefer goes through four different dargas in Avodas Hashem. There's four different levels of serving Hashem. So the first level is somebody who serves Hashem shaloi lishma, right? He's doing it for ulterior motives. He's doing it for whatever, for covered, for ashiras, not for the right reasons, right? Obviously, this person, then he's not going to get much reward in olam hazeh, in olam haba. That's the first type of person. He's doing it shaloi lishma. The second type of person is that he's serving Hashem because he wants to go to olam haba. Right? He knows, if you do mitzvahs, you learn Torah nicely, you go to Olam Haba. Right? So, he wants a ticket to Olam Haba, it's more done out of Yira. Right? He wants to go to Olam Haba. So, of course, this person obviously is a step up from the previous person. Right? But, he's still got a long way to go. Right? It's still by nowhere near is it the ideal approach to serve Hashem, just because you want to go to Olam Haba. Okay? The third type of person, he says, is serving Hashem out of Ava. Serving Hashem out of love. Right, he's serving Hashem not for Olam Hazeh. He's not doing it for Olam Haba. He's doing it Pashut because he has Avas Hashem. He loves Hashem and he wants to make Hashem happy. So obviously, this person, right, Ashrecha b'Olam Hazeh v'tov lo Olam Haba, it's already a very high madriga, right? And he says, of course, yeah, this person will by definitely get his reward in Olam Hazeh, definitely get a special place in Olam Haba. It's a very, very high madriga. But there's a fourth madriga, right? This is the Chiddush. There's a fourth madriga, even higher than this. What's the fourth madriga? The fourth madriga is somebody who serves Hashem out of ahava, out of love. He loves Hashem. But he gets to the point, find the Lashon over here, v'ha'ozvim kol inyonei oylam hazeh, v'einam mashkichim olav, kilu einam balei guf. Fourth madriga, the highest madriga, is somebody who is totally, totally removed from kol inyanei olam hazeh, as if he's kilu einam balei guf, as if, right, that they're totally removed from this world. For kol kavanosam umachshavtam beboiram bilvad, right, they're totally dovuk to Hashem. Kashehaya peinyan be'aliyo, right, be'aliyo anavi bedovik nafshum b'shem hanichbad. Such a person yichyu la'ad bekufam ubenafshum kinir bekosu be'aliyo. Right, that's the highest madriga, is that. His Havas Hashem, his love for Hashem brings him to such great heights that he's totally removed from this world. He's totally, right, the Netziv, when he explains it a bit further, the Netziv uses Lashonis like he's Oyved Hagoshes Atzmoy. He's not aware of what he's doing, right? He's when he does a mitzvah, he's so involved in the mitzvah and he's got such a tremendous love for Hashem and he's doing the mitzvah with such a Islahavas that he's removed from his surrounding, like he forgets himself, he forgets where he is, he's totally not here, right? He's totally azov minyone olam hazeh, right? So that's the highest madriga, right? That's the highest madriga. And he explains, of course, the Netziv says this is madriga, but it's only for yechide skula, right? We're not talking about, it's not the regular madriga, that's mamish only for yechidim. And he says it's not pshat that once you've got to that madriga, then that's it, you've got there and you're always there. He says, you're constantly going up and down, right? You'll have a day where you're mummish holding by that madriga, but then for the next few months, you won't be able to get to the madriga. It's something where it's a ladder, you're going, you get there, you fall away from it, you have to climb back and get there again, right? It's not a constant state. It's a It's a madriga that one has to constantly aspire to. Oh, so first of all, yeah, who does it sound like? Who does it sound like? Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim, show him, right? Yeah, I thought Odin would say something like that. Like a Vam and Musa Sefer. But Lemaisa, it's a Ramban al HaTorah. It's a Ramban al HaTorah in Pashas Acharei Mois, and on the Pasuk of V'chai Bohem. Right? He explains these four madrigas. Right? Four madrigas, again, the person who's Oved totally Shalei Lishma, the person that's Oved because he wants Olim Habo, the person that's Oved Me'ahava, right, he loves Hashem, and then the fourth person is a person that is a whole new level of a Hava. He's totally detached from this world, and of course he's on the highest madriga. So the Netziv says we see two chiddushim from this Ramban. Netziv says, right, chiddush number one is, he says that to say we would have thought that perhaps the highest madriga is somebody who's over Me'a Hava. Says the Netziv, there's an even higher madriga than that, right? From the Ramban you see there's an even higher madriga than that. Somebody who's his being Oved Me'ahava, that's not the top of the ladder. You can even get higher up the ladder, being Oziv Kolin Yonoi Olam Azit. Okay. And he says as well, the Netziv also points out, he says, the second chiddush you see in the Ramban is as follows. He says that somebody who is holding on the third madriga, somebody who is holding by serving Hashem out of love. So he said, of course, the Ribbono Shel Olam will look after him and protect him, right, more than perhaps he'll look after a regular person. This person, right, he'll have a special Ashgacha Pratis, right? He's serving Hashem Me'ahava, he'll have a special Ashgacha Pratis, and which perhaps more than regular people. But the says in the Tziv, but still this person that's serving Hashem just out of love, right, he's in a high madrig, he'll have a special Ashgacha Pratis. But he's got no right to put himself in a situation of danger to perform a mitzvah, right? Right, so of course he'll have a special Ashgacha Pratis, right? Hashem would be looking after him, will keep an eye out for him, but if there's an opportunity to do a mitzvah, but he has to put himself in a danger to do that mitzvah, he's got no right to be masakin himself, to put himself in a danger to do that mitzvah. That much not. But says in the Tziv from the Ramban, you see, quite clear from the words of the Ramban, that somebody who's holding on the fourth madriga, somebody who's holding on this madriga of his mamish, his avos Hashem is to a whole new level, that he's totally detached from this world, so it's such a yid, he's even allowed to put himself in danger in order to perform mitzvahs. He can perform a mitzvah even if, by performing this mitzvah, he's going to put himself in a matzav of danger. He's allowed to be masakin himself, put himself in danger in order to perform a mitzvah. That's what the Ramban says, right? That's the nafkamina halacha lemaisa between dagger 3 and dagger 4, right? Dagger 3, the shkacha protis, but dagger 4 can even put himself in danger.
Where do you get that from in the Ramban?
So
the difference is, there's a difference in sakoma.
Oh, so perhaps it doesn't say clearly, but in the words of the Ramban, I think this is what the Netziv means. He says the third person he says, Zochu ba'olam hazeh l'chayim tovim k'min hogoi shel olam. U'bizocha l'chayim tovim k'min hogoi shel olam. U'b'chay olam habo. In this world, it's only k'min hogoi shel olam. You can't put yourself in danger. But when it comes to the fourth person, the Ramban says, Yichyu la'ad begufam ubenafsham, right? Which I think the Netziv understood from that. That means yichyu la'ad begufam. They can be sure that they don't have to worry about their guf. They'll protect it. Ein dava oimid lefonov. The Netziv uses lashonis like he's a merkava l'shchina. He's mamish. He's nothing to be worried about or afraid about.
It's very hard to believe because we have a general principle that you lose hashgacha pratis if you're foolish or reckless. It's a general principle. Just lose.
Right.
He's not being foolish.
So I would understand as follows, that when he's in the middle of doing a mitzvah and he's reached this madriga he's so removed into the mitzvah and he's so removed from Olam Hazeh, so at that point he doesn't have to sort of be worried that maybe I'm putting myself in danger, because at that point, since he's so far removed and so far detached, he doesn't have to worry if perhaps there'll be any dangers lurking around him. That's what I understand. Right, he says, and the Tziv speaks out, he says, for anyone else, of course, it's also, he says, to put himself in danger. It's the chilul Hashem, it's the b'zayin atira. He says, for this person, he's got a special license. He's so involved. Perhaps he doesn't even realize that there's a danger around. Oh, okay, so those are the two chiddushim that the Tziv brings out from the Ramban, right? So you're probably thinking, yeah, but what does this have to do with us? And I said, no one here is anywhere near the fourth darga. So here the Netziv says a chiddush, right? This is the way. The Netziv says everything we've said till now applies to 612 mitzvahs. He says there's one mitzvah which is different, and that's the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah. So the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah said, all the other 612 mitzvahs, you can have a yid holding by darga number 3, he's holding by with a tremendous avos Hashem, but he's still very far away from darga number 4. He's not close to darga number 4. So doesn't it say, when it comes to limud haTorah, a yid that's holding by darga number 3, a yid that's learning Torah, not for any ulterior motives, but he's learning Torah pashut because he loves Hashem. That's the whole reason he's learning Torah. He says, automatically the teva of Torah is, there's a teva in Torah, that if you're learning Torah just out of avos Hashem, you'll automatically roll into this next darga, that when you're learning Torah, you'll be totally removed from anything in Olam Hazeh. That's what the Netziv says. The other mitzvahs, it's not like that. All the other mitzvahs, you could be holding by number 3, and you're nowhere near number 4. You're nowhere near this darga of being removed from Olam Hazeh. But he says, when it comes to Torah, anyone who's holding by darga number 3, but you have to be holding by darga number 3, right? You can't fool yourself. But somebody who's taka holding by darga number 3, he's taka learning only out of avos Hashem, not for any other reason, he'll automatically roll into darga number 4, that'll be totally removed. Oh. Says it, he brings don't have much time, and quickly finish up, he brings examples from Rava, right? The famous story, Rava was learning, he had his finger under his foot, and he was stepping on it, right? And he didn't even realize that he was bleeding, right? Again, he was learning out of Ava, and he lost himself. Another example he brings is from Rabbi Lezer ben Pedas. He would go to the marketplace, he would spread out all his merchandise, and then he would go and learn in a different base of measure somewhere else. Right, so what's going on? He says no, he was, when he spread out his merchandise, he was constantly thinking in Torah, and then Pasha just lost himself, he forgot that he had merchandise over here, he just went to learn on the base of Medrash nearby, right? So somebody that's holding by that Madriga will automatically come to this Darga of totally losing himself. Okay, that's the Chiddush, that part is the Netziv, that's not the Ramban, right? The Netziv is Mechadash, Torah is different. Oh, says the Netziv, Oibazoi says the Netziv, perhaps we can answer these kashas. He says, these, the Amiroim, let's say Hillel, for example, right? Hillel was Masakan Atzmai, right? He went on the roof and he was covered with snow. He says, because Hillel learned Torah Me'ava. And when somebody learns Torah Me'ava, automatically he's going to come to a matzav where he totally loses himself, right? He's not here anymore. And he says, Anoy Bazoi, like the Ramban says, when someone reaches such a Madriga, then he doesn't have to be worried for Sakana. He doesn't have to be worried for. He's safe. He's protected. The Rabbeinu Shalom will look after him, come what may. He doesn't have to. He's not. Ein davar oimid lefanov. He's allowed to put himself in azar matzav, and he doesn't have to worry about the Sakana because it'll be extra hashgacha pratis. And he says, and the same to Blazer ben Hurkanus, the same to Rishua ben Levi. Since they were holding, yeah, perhaps they wouldn't have relied on any other mitzvah. Maybe they wouldn't have relied on this because perhaps they wouldn't have held that they were on this high madriga. But when it comes to limud haTorah, that you don't, it can be a step down. You can be on the third madriga, and that takes you to the fourth madriga. So then, that's okay. These tanoim relied on this kula, right? And he finishes off. He says, I what about the Gemara Baba Kama? He says, the Gemara Baba Kama, he says, these Geburim that went to ask the Shaila from the Sanhedrin, he says, there wasn't a matzav of limud haTorah, they weren't learning Torah, right? It wasn't Shkidas haTorah, it was a matzav. They had the Shaila, they were going to ask the Sanhedrin what the halach is. He says, okay, but this chiddush only applies to limud haTorah. If you're learning Torah, then you have this chiddush. The Sanhedrin, these Geburim, they weren't learning Torah, they were coming to ask a Shaila. They were like, it's like they were doing any other mitzvah. To do any other mitzvah, you can only put yourself in Sakana if you're on the highest madriga. And that's why David the Melech wasn't pleased with him. Oh.
So you're coming here, yeah, in order to give us the shir, there's only a couple of Torah, so
I'm going to go to the hospital. Small announcement straight into our speaker today, Monty Donnerfeld. Bushwer is Menachem David Zaltzman, the founder of Torah Way. He's making cast now on Monday in Manchester.
So you would be
What's the Hassan? Ben Amor.